Good morning. You are not among the fair weather Christians, I'll tell you. Good for you to come out on a day like today. Some churches actually have closed today, so wonderful to see you here today. Although I was saying to the choir, we probably should be singing as one of our hymns, "You in Your Small Corner and I in Mine." Oh, anyway, welcome to those who are with us today. Those who, I don't know if I see any visitors, I don't think I do, but if you're here and I don't see you, welcome. Welcome to Woodlawn United Church. I'm going to ask Dwight or Betty and or both to come up and say a little thing about what they're doing this week.
On Thursday at TGIT, 2 o'clock Thursday afternoon, Betty and I are doing a presentation on our experience on the Camino, tell you a little bit about what the Camino is all about, and just a few pictures. We took 5,000 while we were away. I don't think I'll subject you to all those. And we did try out our presentation on one poor victim, and all I can say is he burst into song, so I don't know if that's going to happen to you or not if you attend, but it has happened to others. See you on Thursday.
Right. You might guess I was the poor victim. It is awesome. You really need to come and see this wonderful presentation on Thursday afternoon at 2. Okay. Do we have any other announcements from the congregation?
Okay. Hi there. Usually, is that on? Usually this is our Fun Script Sunday, but where we only have about 5 orders today, we'll just delay it till next Sunday. If we don't reach 5,000 in orders, we end up paying a fee, so if that's okay, we'll do it next week. Thanks.
Christian sympathies are extended to the family and friends of the late Peter Kent, brother to Lou and Pat Kent. Christian sympathies are also expressed to the family and friends of the late Ann Connor. Her service will be held on Tuesday afternoon at Atlantic Funeral Home, 2 o'clock. And Christian sympathies are expressed to Pat Rodenheiser, Norma Blades, and Keith Blades on the death of their sister, Ruth.
Okay. Any other announcements? Okay.
I have a feeling this service might be short and sweet.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
How about birthdays and other celebrations?
It is my birthday tomorrow.
Hey!
Tomorrow! Awesome.
Yes, Kim. Awesome.
So that's Jim. Jim sitting beside Kim there. Recently joined boxing, did you say?
Good. Any other celebrations? All right, let's sing. Congratulations. Is there coffee today after? Yeah, there is coffee today. Yes, yeah, there is. Great.
So did we say Happy New Year?
I don't know. Did we say Happy? We didn't say Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everyone.
All right. Invite you to stand and greet your neighbor. Good morning. I'm Philip. Good morning. Happy New Year. Morning. Happy New Year. Morning. Happy New Year. Good morning. Happy New Year. Welcome to Woodlawn. Good morning. Happy New Year. Welcome to Woodlawn. Now in our statement of reconciliation. As we gather in this place, we remember with gratitude that we live and worship on lands that are, by law, the unceded territories of the Mi'kmaq. May we live with respect on this land and in peace and friendship with its people. Come, let us worship God, who is the beginning, creating light. We come seeking light in the darkness to show us the way. Come and see God's light in baby Jesus, born in a manger. We come giving thanks for Jesus, the light of the world. Let us worship God. First hymn is 84 in Voices United. It's a well-known tune. You'll know this one, know the tune. O Radiant Christ, Incarnate Word. You'll note that we still have our Advent candle here. This is the 11th out of the 12 days in the season of Christmas, so we're still technically in the season of Christmas. And so we light this Christ candle once again today, this time on the Advent Christmas wreath. I give you a moment to center your lives. Let us pray. This is both a busy and a not busy time of the year, O God. The rush of Christmas is over, and now the new year begins. We pray for an awareness, for your awareness in our lives as we begin this year. Help us to remove anything that may keep us from hearing your word this worship service. Anything that may be distracting us about what we're going to be doing later, the pressures and stresses in our lives to put to one side. We pray that we may be assured of your grace and forgiveness for anything that we have done wrong and sinned. All these things we ask as we now open our hearts and minds to hear your word. Amen. A light is gleaming. Do you want to stand? Well, thank you. I wasn't sure anybody was going to be here to hear the story today or the children's time today, but thank you. Shannon is off on a week or two of vacation, so I get to do this, and I'm so happy because I don't get to do this very often. And I was just saying a few minutes ago, I don't know if you heard me, did you know that this is still Christmas? This is still the season of Christmas until tomorrow, which is January the 6th is tomorrow. And that we call that Epiphany. It's also called Old Christmas, Ukrainian and Eastern Orthodox Christmas. And when two or three years ago, we were in, where were we? We were in Cuba with a bunch of the teens. And we were down there right around this time of year. And guess what? On the 6th of January, down there, that's when the presents are given. The presents are given on the 6th of January, and they said it was because that's when the wise men brought their gifts. So it's kind of neat how people celebrate the season of Christmas around the world in different ways. But I have a question. Why do we celebrate Christmas? Any idea why we celebrate Christmas? Jesus' birthday, that's exactly right. You got that one right. It's Jesus' birthday. Now, when my children were about your size, we used to have birthday parties, and they would invite all their friends, and they would come. And at that time, I don't know if it's still done today, but at that time, as the host of the birthday party, Valerie and I would get little bags of things from the dollar store that we called loot bags. Have you heard that? And so everybody who came to the birthday party would get a little bag of just little small things from the dollar store, loot bags. And as I was trying to think about Christmas being the birthday of Jesus, I thought, yeah, you know, all the presents that we get at Christmas time are kind of like loot bags. We're, you know, they're kind of like loot bags. But the real question is, what did we get baby Jesus for his birthday? What did you folks get baby Jesus for his birthday? Yeah? And when I thought about this many years ago, I thought, okay, how do we give a birthday present to Jesus? How do we give anything to Jesus? And he told us one time in a story that's written at the end of the book of Matthew, Matthew 25, and he said, "When I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was sick or in prison, you visited me." And every time you give something and do something for somebody in need, it's like doing it to me, doing it for me. So there's a way that we can give Jesus his birthday present. And it doesn't just have to be on December 25th or even up until the 6th of January. We can do that all year long. Give Jesus his gifts of serving the needy and those who don't have a lot of power in society and seem to be isolated from others. When we include them and when we help them to kind of balance those scales in society that kind of, because some people seem to have so much and other people have to have so little. But the closer we can get, the more we are kind of like giving a present to Jesus. So would you have a prayer with me before you go down to Sunday school, everybody? Thank you, Jesus, for your birthday.
Thank you, Jesus,
for your birthday. Help us to give you good gifts.
Help us to give you good gifts.
Not just at Christmas.
Not just at Christmas.
But for the rest of our lives.
Amen.
Amen. So, what's happening today?
I'm doing a craft.
Okay, Katie's doing a craft downstairs. Is there any...
No youth group today.
No youth group today. All right. Traveling song. I am the light of the world.
Oh.
Gospel reading for today is taken from the New Revised Standard Version, Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. And it's about the visit of the wise men. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet." "And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. May God bless this reading to our understanding.
Our second reading is taken from the Gospel of John, Chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. Through the reading of this scripture, may you hear the word of God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation that comes from those words be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When I first chose the three Epiphany hymns for today's worship service, I thought, do I really even need to write a sermon? Okay, so most of you are thinking, great, we don't have to listen to a sermon today. Woohoo! Wrong. Even though the hymns, along with the scriptures, explain what Epiphany is all about, they may not give you exactly what you need to understand Epiphany in relation to today's world. So I read and reflected on many theological perspectives with the hope that my research might help to enlighten you in this regard. One of my commentaries describes Epiphany in this way. It is a divine manifestation in the midst of human history. A divine manifestation in the midst of human history. Or you could look at it this way. It's a moment in time where something greater than ourselves is revealed to us, and the revelation gives us insight or illumines a path for us to follow. Each year in Epiphany Sunday, and that's today, we usually read the well-loved story of the wise men, which you just heard Dodie read. So the wise men from the east making a journey to find a king. These wise men, or magi, were astrologers who constantly studied the stars, and from their studies, they could tell when new or unusual events were about to occur. In Matthew's narration, the Magi saw a new star appear and knew it represented the birth of a Jewish king of great importance. And so they followed the star. Eventually, after a brief interplay with King Herod, the star led them to Bethlehem, to Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus. Even though the Magi's journey and the star were an important part of the story, they were not the Epiphany. According to my commentary, they represent and point to something beyond what is normal and natural. They were signs pointing to the greatest divine revelation of all time, God in human form. This is what the Magi experienced when they came face to face with baby Jesus. It was an epiphany that instantly revealed to them that this baby was God, the divine creator of the earth, all peoples, and the glorious heavens filled with the stars they so loved to study. Their first reaction was to fall down in a prostrate position, to humble themselves before this divine being, to pay him homage. The second thing they did was to present their offerings, the gifts they had brought, fit for a king. For in Jesus, God was revealed, and the kingdom of God was at hand. To put this in perspective, we need to look at the John reading. Although this opening section of John's gospel is not in a story-like form, it is written in a hymn-like form, which, like our hymns, focuses on a central theme. Here are just a few lines of this scripture. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life. And the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. And then further on it says, and the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. And the last line, no one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. Christians understand the Word of God, with a capital W, to be Jesus Christ. And John the Baptist was the forerunner of the Word made flesh to prepare the way for Jesus, born on a dark night, in dark Roman-oppressed times, in a lowly manger in Bethlehem. Many Old Testament scriptures from books such as Isaiah, Micah, and the Psalms prophesied the coming of the Messiah, and it's Jesus' birth that fulfills them. John's Gospel, the Gospel that's written from a more spiritual perspective, explains that the Word of God was God's creative powers, and it existed before the creation of all things. It was what gave life to everything, and the Word of God was and is the light that will always dispel the darkness. And the Word became flesh and lived among God's people, teaching his disciples and all who followed him about God's love for them. God's Word was and is Jesus Christ, whose grace and truth brings healing light and love to all who seek him. And when you find Jesus, you begin to see the light that will guide you for the rest of your life and beyond. So it's important to understand John's perspective, that Jesus is the Word that became flesh. Then the last line of this reading makes more sense. It explains the Epiphany. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. Those last few words, who has made him known. God was revealed through Jesus. Jesus' life, his words and actions showed us the ways we can come to know God. Jesus read the scriptures. We can read them and reflect on them. Prayer. Jesus prayed and taught us how to pray. And like Jesus, we can talk to God every single day, at any time. And in this way, we'll come to know God and understand God's loving ways. Jesus spent time with all kinds of people, but especially people who were struggling. Those who were poor, ill, or oppressed. He was there for them and helped them through their difficulties. Jesus also showed us that worship is important. When we come to public worship, we praise God through our music, our singing, and our speaking. And then, like the Magi, after we offer ourselves through worship, we offer our gifts with humble gratitude. The Matthew reading has the words, pay him homage, three times. At the beginning, in the middle, and at the end. That's how important it is to honor and praise God. It's through the coming of Jesus and all the stories related to him that we are reminded of this. But we must remember that paying homage is not just about giving our gifts to God each week. It is humbly giving our entire selves to Christ and living our lives in ways that show it. With Jesus Christ in our hearts, we show Christ to the world by showing unconditional love to all people through our words and actions, just like Jesus showed us. It's our acts of kindness, our smiles that could lift someone up, our prayers for others, our caring concern for those who are struggling, our financial gifts to mission and ministry, and the time and effort we put into outreach projects. There are so many ways to show our love for God. And I see many of those ways here at Woodlawn. Almost every weekday, when I'm in the office, people come in who need help. And they are blessed because Woodlawn is in a place where they can help them. I see many people who come to the food bank and our Dungeon secondhand clothing outlet in our Heritage Center next door. And I've been told time and time again how blessed they feel because Woodlawn and Feed Nova Scotia and other churches work together to help them. And they are so thankful. It was by God's grace that God entered life with us as a human. And then, with Holy Spirit creative power working through Jesus, the poor were lifted up, the sick, both physically and spiritually, were healed, and the love of God was poured out on us all through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. The light of the Bethlehem star pointed to Jesus, but not just his birth. It was illuminating his whole life right to the end. And then, after his resurrection, Jesus became the light of the world. The one true light that enlightens the heart, mind, and soul. And it is through the grace of Jesus Christ that all are welcome to experience the one true light. How blessed we are to know Jesus, God's epiphany. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. I was going to tell you about our stewardship program called Unsung Heroes, but both our unsung heroes are not here today. And it's a wonderful story, and I think it would be appropriate to have them here and introduce them to you. So I'm going to suggest that we not do this to this morning and that we plan for another program at another time. Thanks very much. Murdoch.
You could have told them about your trash to treasure, you know. Murdoch has sponsored a program for bottle recycling. There are two or three different depots around the area that Murdoch looks after in terms of picking up your recyclable bottles and stuff. That every little bit helps, so he could have told you about that. But anyway, again, I remind you that this is not a collection that we do. This is an offering. When I was in one of the churches in the past, their tradition was no offering on Christmas Eve because they didn't want to take advantage of all those people who didn't normally come. And I said, but you're denying people a chance to worship. People need to give as a way of showing gratitude to God. And so that's the difference between a collection and an offering. It's a response. That's why it comes where it does in the service in the later part. It's a response to hearing the word and to for all the great things God has done for us. So the offering will now be received.
Bright with his
given you thanks, God, for all your wonderful gifts of life and love to us. Take these, our gifts. Use us as your church, your body of Christ in this place to make a difference. May these gifts help us to do that. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Yes, a new creed. Please join me. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life and death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. Just a reminder, as we go into the new year, there is a prayer request board out by the office. We have one today, although I confess there is a name on this that I'm not 100% sure of. So let us pray. Loving Creator God, we want to give you thanks today for all of your gifts of life and love to us. This is a time of darkness, and yet there is light returning more and more each day. Sometimes we're full of despair, not only the darkness outside, but there is darkness inside, and we thank you for the light of Christ and for the hope that he gives and you give to us. We live in fear sometimes, and yet you've told us there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. We thank you for your love with us at all the times and seasons of our lives. We pray especially today for those who are sick, those at home, those in hospital, those dealing with all kinds of different illnesses, those who are listed in our bulletin, especially in our prayers and in hospital and others. We pray for health, for healing, for wholeness, for strength and peace. We pray for those folks and communities and nations that are estranged from each other. We pray for reconciliation, which is the ministry to which you've called us, a ministry of seeking to love neighbor and to love you. We pray for discernment among the many lies that are being told, the things that come to us over social media, all the different ways that people try to manipulate and twist us from your truth, but we thank you that Jesus is indeed the way, the truth, and the life. We pray for an end to racism in all of its many different forms and all the other kinds of exclusions of people. Help us to break down barriers and not to create them. Help us to not only be affirming, but to celebrate differences and not be afraid of them. This week, climate change has reared its ugly head, especially in terms of fires in Australia. We particularly pray for the people there. Indeed, we pray for us all as we give thanks for the actions that we are beginning to take to change things. We sometimes get uncentered, O God. We ask you to help us be centered in you, to be focused, to clarify our vision of the way to go for ourselves as individuals and families, but also as churches and as communities and nations. Give us clarity of vision as we move forward into your future. And now, in silence and out loud, we pray our individual prayers in community. We pray for this person, I think it's Mamer, who is in and out of hospital for months now with chronic illness as she battles it. Give her strength and peace.
For Vivian.
We pray as well for our world in the midst of political tension, maybe even on the verge of war. We pray for us all, O God, all of us. We pray for ourselves as well as others. We pray especially for those folks listed in our bulletin in hospital and in our thoughts and prayers. We pray for those who have lost loved ones recently and not so recently. And we make all of these prayers with the thanksgiving that you are indeed at work in us and in the world. And in the name of Jesus, who taught us all to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So our final Christmas hymn of the season, As With Gladness Men of Old.
Bless and keep us as we go into the world. And may the love of God, the peace of Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit be with us all, illuminating our paths so we are guided to know Jesus, God's epiphany, and through our words and actions, reveal him to the world. Amen.